Good to be with you this morning. I was sympathizing with his wife having been diagnosed. My wife was validated the other day. It was diagnosed that I have mental issues. And so if I say anything out of line today, please don't hold that against me. That's a great report, isn't it? I want to share with you that I can't tell you how elated my heart is. For those of us that have been at our church for a while, it's been a long time since we've enjoyed a missions month. Amen. And I'm excited because it's God's call on our lives to be involved in the saving of lost souls all over the world. It's part of what is a response, if you will, to us becoming Christians. Amen. I don't know where you're at, but if Christ's heart is about people coming to know him, it's a natural byproduct that you and I, as we become Christians, that we would have a burden for the lost, and that would be exemplified in some way, whether that's financially or opening your home or you go or you do whatever. But the point is this, that in whatever way we can, our job is to be a part, if you will, of Christ's goal of commissioning the church to win the lost. And so I've been tasked with sort of starting off our missions month. So if you would open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3 for me, Ephesians chapter 3. And since I don't know everyone and a lot of new faces, I'm going to kind of go back to the basics. And we'll cover the groundwork this morning on missions as best that I can with the Lord's help. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. Didn't want to get too far away from where Pastor Rich is. If you're visiting with us, our pastor is enjoying a vacation, much well deserved. And you'll have to endure today with me. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, let's read in verse 7, let's start. It says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, in this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's pray, if you would. Father, I thank you this morning for your church. I thank you for the fellowship of the saints. I thank you that we get to gather together. And so we ask now that you would be pleased to move in our hearts, that your Holy Spirit would move in us, Father, that we would understand your purpose for calling us and for saving us and for using us. We thank you this morning for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that in all things that are said and done, that he alone would receive all the glory, who is so worthy. We thank you and we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So the commission to the church, we know that Jesus spoke in the end of Matthew and Luke and said that we were to first start with the gospel in Jerusalem, and then it was to go to Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. And then later in the development of the church, we know that Paul was given an understanding that was not at that point understood early in the development of the church, and that is this, that God was doing a special work. God was calling out unto himself that which was to be the bride of Christ, the church. And it was to consist of both Gentile and both Jew, amen. And that was to be brought together by the gospel of Christ, which is that Christ was lived a sinless life, amen, and that Christ died for our sins and was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father where he intercedes on behalf of us. What an amazing ministry our Savior has. And so with that thought in mind, it is the purpose of the church then is what? What is the purpose of missions? What really is a mission? Well, a mission is where you are granted power or delegated authority to transact business on behalf of someone. That's actually the definition of a mission. For example, if I'm smart enough to allow my wife to have my credit card, she's allowed to go wherever she would like and transact business on my behalf. When I get the bill at the end of the month, then we have to sit down and give an accounting. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. All right. But isn't that really what Christ has done with you and I? When Jesus Christ saved your soul and he cleansed you by the blood of Christ and he placed you into the body of Christ, along with that came seated in the heavenlies. Along with that came an inheritance. Along with that came with your heir to all the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit dwelling in you. For what purpose? That you would also be a vehicle, a channel of communication that would proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that are lost. That's our calling. That's why God saved us. And so that's our commission. But the question is, what really is the goal of it? And so the Bible says that it is to display the glory of God by declaring the gospel to all peoples of the world. I've been kind of enamored with this idea of God's glory. If you would, go to Isaiah chapter 45 with me. Isaiah chapter 45. I kind of want to bring us back to a baseline. I will probably offend somebody. I hope not. I think one of the dangers that we face in the body of Christ today is, and it always has been this way, is that if we're not on guard, the world will creep in. If we're not vigilant, the world will begin to permeate our lives. Amen? Do I have an agreement on that? Now, I don't know about you, but it was much easier when I didn't have a cell phone. It was much easier when we didn't have email and computers and 24-hour accessibility and things that were out there that we would never have allowed our children to see, or things that we would never have had to even allow our own eyes to see, for that matter. Amen. And why am I bringing that up? Well, because that has permeated a society that now thinks that the individual is the supreme being in all things and that the world revolves around them. You say, what do I mean by that? Really? We live in a world of selfies and Instagram and fakeness about our entire lives as if they're all perfect. Now, why do I bring that up? Because if the church is not careful, it will permeate our being that Jesus exists for our glory instead of that we exist for his glory. May I submit to you this morning that in the economy of God, the individual is not greater than the body of Christ, but rather that the glory of Christ is the most important thing that God is interested in. I think we'll see that from the scripture. In Isaiah chapter 45, we'll get some Old Testament and some New. The Bible says in verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is none else, and there is no God beside me. Hallelujah to that, amen. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun from the west, and that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all things. I am so sorry. Will you go to 42? I can't read with glasses. I'm sorry, 42. Wrong reference. Same verse, wrong reference. Actually, that would have been good where we were, but wasn't the one I wanted. All right, verse 5. Everybody with me? Thank you. All right, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and to them that sit in darkness out of the prison. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Please note what God stated about his glory. Turn, if you would, over to Isaiah 48 with me. Isaiah chapter 48. We'll look at verse 9. Isaiah 48, verse 9. The Lord says in verse 9, for my name's sake will I defer mine anger And for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not, I state it again, I will not give my glory unto another. Let's go, if you would, to the New Testament. We'll go over to Philippians chapter 2, if you would. Philippians chapter 2. I think God makes it very clear how he feels about those that would take his glory. Amen. That those that would deem themselves worthy, that they would replace the glory of the Lord with their own. And in Philippians chapter 2, we have this starting in verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above, or which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee, not some, not a few, every knee, should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the Bible says what? To the glory of whom? God the Father. Amen. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. If you would, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews, it's to the right. Hebrews chapter 1. Starting in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Let me know when you're there. Everybody there? We good? Yeah, the first service, I said everybody there, and everybody was there before I was, and that's because everybody has a phone. So now you hit HEB1. You're there. All right, here we go. Hebrews verse 1. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You see, it has come to my attention, and it has always kind of been there. But if I'm not careful, Wade will begin to think that he is very important. But the reality is, it is the glory of God that is important. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin, God manifest in the flesh. And when he showed up on this earth, the Bible says he came in truth and grace. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was the express image of God. And when you call something the express, it's not average. It's not like the second or third copy. No, it's the primary. It's the only. It's the major. Jesus Christ was everything that God should have desired for us to have seen that magnified the glory of the Father. Amen. Oh, and then Christ in his mercy and his kindness and in his love gave himself for you and I, bore our wickedness, bore our transgressions, bore our rebellion and our sins, and took him to Calvary where the blood was shed. And then God buried him. And Christ was raised from the dead, where he now sits to intercede for you and I every single day. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, the glory of God was his Son. God's desire is that you and I, as vessels, saved vessels, would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, and that would become our preeminent and major and primary goal for all things in our lives, not our personal accomplishments. You see, God rejoices in taking broken things and making them whole. Why does God get the glory? Because you and I couldn't fix ourselves. You and I were so far away, we were so broken that there was no possible way that you could take an unclean vessel and it could make itself clean. But God, in his mercy through his Son, manifested what? His power and his love in taking broken vessels like us and inserting in us a new heart and the Holy Spirit of the living God, that we would have entirely changed directions in our lives. So much so that we would all come together, probably not even liking each other in the real world, but now loving one another because of what Christ has done in our hearts. Amen. And so God says, hey, the commission, my mission to you is, please don't keep that to yourself, but be my mouthpiece for Christ. I want to say this morning, too, that I don't think God is worried about numbers. I think God is worried about testimony. I don't think God is worried about, as Americans, measuring everything. I think God is worried about whether you and I walk around ready to give an answer and to bear testimony to the greatness of what Christ has done with us. It will be up to the individual whether they shall choose Christ or not. It will be up to us whether or not we shall be mouthpieces for him. And that's what God has called us to do. I want to share this with you. I've touched on it, but go over to Ephesians chapter 1 with me. I remember the first time that I heard this picture. I grew up in a church, we didn't preach the word. I look back, it's a miracle I got saved, amen. And I remember having gotten saved at a teenage, but it was later in my life that people shared God's word with me, and I remember it was so refreshing, it was so exciting to me to be in God's word. I remember just like it was a fire hose, I just couldn't get enough of it. I still can't. That's why I yell. It's hard to read God's word and not get excited, isn't it? Isn't it hard to know that you've been cleansed by the blood of Christ? Your sin's been paid. Your life counts. Do you remember when your life was worthless? I do. When I did things that were mean, things that were vile, and now a vessel of the Almighty, a cup that's usable. Praise be to his name today. Is that not the joy of your heart that you have been delivered from the world of darkness and cast into the kingdom of light, his dear son? Hallelujah. Paul writes in Ephesians, he said in verse 4, remember the idea here is that we have been given things. He's trying to reinforce in us our standing in Christ. Verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Notice the next phrase now, to the praise of the glory of his grace, amen, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. If you would, look at verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Chapter 2, verse 5, no 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. I want, if you would, a picture. I want you to try to understand that we're all in glory. The worlds have been rolled up as a scroll. The great white throne judgment has occurred. And those that have rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that have not glorified his name, have been cast into the eternal lake of fire for eternal damnation and punishment. And there we are in all of the glory of the Lord, millions of those that have trusted Christ as their Savior, and the Lamb sitting upon his throne with the emerald and the rainbow and all that is behind him. And we'll be singing holy, holy, holy and praising his name. And no, you will not be on a cloud and you don't get a harp. Amen. And the Lord will hold up his hand and we'll all go silent. And God will go, Don Paltz, come forward. And my brother Don will walk up on the stage. And Jesus will say, tell your story. I want to hear about another trophy of my grace. And Don will give honor and glory and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll shout hallelujah and sing unto him. And we'll rejoice with Don at what Christ had done in his life. Why? Because it redounded to the glory of him who gave his life on Calvary. Amen. We'll not care about the individual in that day. Everything will be done for the glory of Jesus. Don't you look forward to the day when you'll get to brag in front of millions about what Christ has done for you. Hallelujah. And the good news is you can't mess it up. You'll have a glorified body with a glorified mouth. Amen. But I remember the first time I saw that in 1 Ephesians 2:7. And I heard it preached about us as trophies of his grace, testimonies of his glory. What glory? It's God's glory to take that which is infixable and to fix it. It's God's glory to take us from hell and bring us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Well, that raised in me the question of, well, how is it that you and I then glorify the Lord? Go to John chapter 15, if you would. John chapter 15. How is God glorified then? How then do you and I make a difference? How is it that we can bring glory to the name of our Son, of the Father, and his dear Son? John chapter 15, the Bible says this in verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Verse 8. Herein, that is in this way, Father glorified, that ye bear what? Much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So that begs the question, how is God glorified? In that we bear much fruit. Now, there are many ways to bear fruit in the body of Christ. It would be awful if all of us were orange trees, amen. You bear fruit in that the Holy Spirit working in your life through sanctification brings out in you things that you would never have done. The love of the brethren, the joy of the Holy Spirit, peace, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, all of the things that he bears in us. Those are fruits. People notice those things in this day and age. But there's all this other fruit of, I don't hold on to my money anymore. I give it to be used for people's blessing and for the glory of the gospel. My home is no longer mine. My car is no longer mine. What's my point? My point is that when you and I got saved, we gave everything over to Jesus, and all of our resources and all of the things that we have are now at his disposal to be used. To do what? To bear much fruit. Not to bear our own, but to bear fruit for the kingdom. Amen. That happened to me in the first service. Fortunately, it was in King James. Amen. No, just kidding. Look with me at John chapter 16. I always like this. Verse 13, he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of whom? Himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and we will show you things to come. He shall what? Glorify me, for this he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The point is this. God gave you the Holy Spirit, and he now indwells us as the earnest of our redemption. He lives in us. But I wanted you to see this morning that he exists for one purpose, one sole purpose, and that is to lead and guide us into all truth, that the result of leading us and guiding us into that truth is that we should only glorify Christ. That is his job. I have to put out a warning this morning. I would be remiss if I didn't. But if you're in a church which glorifies the Holy Spirit more than it glorifies Jesus, you're in the wrong church. For his job is to point us to Calvary. His job is to point us to the glories of the Son. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, please. Philippians chapter 1. Let's look together, if you would, at verse 8 through 11. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. May I make a statement here? You know, the Bible talks about this idea of love a lot. May I say to you that biblically, love is not a feeling. Biblically, love is not an emotion, although you may have feelings and emotions. Biblically, love, Jesus said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. Biblically, love is you and I having a desire to act, behave, and know what is God's will for our lives in the knowledge of his scripture and in his word. Amen. And so he prays that we would grow in that. And then look what he says in verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that you and I would have understanding about that which is excellent versus that which is not excellent, that we would be sincere, that is genuine, honest, and without offense till the day of Christ. What's the result? That in verse 11, we would be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. And the next phrase says what? Unto the glory and praise of God. You see, even our actions, even what we do, God is very clear that our fruits, the lives that we are bearing, are designed that we would bear glory and honor to the name of Christ. This thing about God's glory is serious, people. I don't know if you remember the story, but in Exodus chapter 3, it was Moses' desire. He said, show me your glory. That came after the calf, the golden calf had been taken out. God shares his glory with no one. He's least interested in sharing it with the world. It is our job to represent that glory for Jesus Christ. And that's why I focused on that, because this is what I want to say this morning. We need to understand our purpose. We need to understand what God has asked us to do. And if we'll get a grip on that, if we'll grab a hold of that, if we'll understand what his goal and desire for us as believers is, it makes it much easier for us then to move forward, amen, and fulfill that purpose. If you would, we'll finish here this morning. So then what is our role? Go to 3 John, believe it or not, which is right before Jude, which is right before Revelation. 3 John. So we're talking about this morning missions, and so the mission of the world is that God would be glorified. You know, in the millennial kingdom, the Bible says that all of the nations of the world will come in and worship the Lamb. The Bible says that when Jesus comes back and rides in on his horse and he comes in through the eastern gate of Jerusalem, having come down the king's highway to redeem Israel, the Bible tells us that he will judge all of the nations by whether or not they have abided by his word and helped Israel. Why? Because they're his people. And because he's king. But there's coming a day, as the Bible said in Philippians chapter 2, when every knee, whether it wants to or not, is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory and the praise of God the Father. Amen. And so that is our goal. That is our job, if you will. That you and I should be a part of the team to get the gospel out so that God's name is proclaimed everywhere. Do y'all understand team? Everybody know what a team is? Baseball team, golf team. I don't know, golf's a little individual. No, I'm just kidding. I love team. Let me say why I love team. You know why I love the Bible? Here's why I love the Bible. Do you understand this morning that there is nothing in your life, there is not one thing that you do where you are rewarded fairly? Except serve Jesus. Most of us have given our labor and our best energies to work. All for what? A watch and a paycheck. And now you don't even get the watch. What's my point? We serve a fair and equitable master. We serve a God who doeth all things well. He's just and he's righteous and he's holy and he's good and he's kind and he's loving and he's merciful. And he says, hey, I haven't missed $1 you gave to me. I haven't missed one afternoon you gave up to pray for those lost souls in Africa. I haven't missed one time that you helped that person on the side of the road that needed it. No, God sees all things well, and God marks down all things well, and not one thing that you and I do for the glory of our Savior shall ever go unrewarded because he is faithful. Amen. And there's no team in the world like that. None. I get really fired up about that. Yeah, amen. That is good preaching. I love babies in the service. I miss the old days when you'd hear a bunch of crying, amen, then you knew you were really stepping on everybody. 3 John, verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, and whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Isn't that a blessing? I hope that to be the testimony of our church. Say whatever you will about Crossroads, but I hope one thing is said. They walk in the truth. Amen. That the word of God is preeminent in their lives. And that he gets the glory. Because if you look in chapter 2, in the second letter of John, he basically comes out and he says, look unto yourselves that we lose not those things in verse 8. Which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. For whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God, and he that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, or he that does abide, hath Christ. He hath both the Father and the Son. Interesting, he says, if there come any unto you, bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You see, we live in a day and era where the church is oftentimes mentioned that things are done in the name of Christ, but they're not biblical. They're not honest. They're not sincere. They're not pure. And we as the body of Christ are to be on guard. We're to select missionaries who preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who abide by the word of God, who honor Christ as Christ should be honored. Because why? Because Christ's name is to be glorified in all of those nations before all those peoples. And should we compromise in the littlest way, it lets the world think that they're safe when they're not safe. Because God desires that all should come to repentance and receive the remission of sins. Amen. And so he says this. He says, beloved, in verse 5 of chapter 3, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers. which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Wherefore, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. In essence, what is Missions Month about? It's you and I enjoying being fellow helpers. It's our job. It's our calling. May I say this morning? It's our privilege. It's our privilege to come alongside the gentleman that we just watched, to hear of the gospel going out, to hear of churches being planted, to hear of souls being saved. And all this month, for the first time in a long time, we'll get to hear stories and to hear how the ministries are going in those countries. And we get to sit and be able to enjoy them spreading the glory of our Savior, because we have participated with them in their calling and in their purpose. And it is the privilege of the Lord that we should get to do so for the body of Christ. Amen. And so as you think this month about your resources and your callings and your gifts and the things that God has done for you, by all means, let us not be weak, but labor in prayer for these. I can testify personally that being in a foreign field is very lonely. After spending several years in Japan, which is a lovely place, it didn't matter. I was always a foreigner. And the Bible says that when you and I got saved, we became strangers and pilgrims in this life. So imagine that you're a foreigner in a foreign country and you're a stranger and a pilgrim to this world. It could be a very lonely place, and so they covet and desire and need the prayers of the saints and the notes from the saints and the encouragement from the saints, that they are worthy of the labor because they have not taken anything from the Gentiles, that we might be able to support them for the gospel of Jesus Christ to the glory of our Savior. Amen. And so that's what missions are. That's our calling. Pretty exciting, isn't it? What a joy. Imagine when you get to glory and they call up one of those trophies of grace and we'll all be going, oh, that was one of ours. Amen. We had part in that. So this morning I want to thank you for your faithfulness. I want to thank you for your support. But we have much work to be done because we are in a war. We have much labor to do. And now is not the time for us to grow weary or complacent or to enjoy too much the cares of this life. But rather, I suspect it's possible the trumpet could sound soon. And our time to be able to make an impact for Jesus Christ will have ended. Let us be faithful. Let us be counted faithful. And let us love one another in the spirit of Christ and in the unity of the brethren, that we, fulfill our calling to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. That when we all get to glory, it may redound to his praise. Amen. And I believe, as the old song says, we shall find it had been worth it all. Maybe you're here this morning and the idea of being on the team is exciting to you and you haven't made that choice yet. May I say that while all these things are wonderful, if you're not on the team, you don't get to participate, unfortunately. I would encourage you this morning that if you haven't chosen Jesus, please do. I'll be up here after the service. You can come and talk to me about it, but I want you to know this morning that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing that any should be separated from for all of eternity, but rather that they should come out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son. And that's so easy to do and so easy to be accomplished by simply calling on the name of Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. Maybe you're here this morning and what we've talked about has pricked your heart. Maybe something has moved you. Maybe you've been so focused on what's going on in your little world that you forgot there's a great big world out there. It's not meant to be convicting. It's only meant that our job as a congregation and as brothers and sisters in Christ is to spur one another on to be the best we can be for Jesus. Let us not take offense at that, amen. But rather be excited to be on the team and to be encouraged. And so this morning, I'm going to give you a minute or two here. If you would, bow your heads. Let's pray. Maybe God has asked you to give up something or to think about something. Or maybe if you're a young person this morning, I want to encourage you. Please pray that God might send you. We don't talk about that much. We all think it's so great to be in the United States or to be this or to be that. But there's no greater calling than to give up your life for Jesus. Amen. Father, we come this morning and we thank you for your goodness. You said in Romans that your goodness leads us to repentance. Lord, I thank you for the day that you saved me. I thank you for the day that you saved all of my brothers and sisters here. Lord, we ask now that your Spirit would work in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you do all things well. We thank you that we have a place to worship and to meet. I thank you for the talents and abilities that you've given each person in this room and the resources that you've given them. And oh God, that we would let our hands open, that you could take those resources and multiply them 100-fold for the glory of your dear Son. May you find us faithful, Lord. May you help us to remain faithful. According to thy word, we ask in Jesus' precious name.